So we're here today. We're celebrating all that God has done these past 12 years. And it really does. When it comes to seeing a church accomplish the mission and the vision that the church has, it is beyond just one person. It actually involves an entire team that really includes you. Today, really what we're celebrating is what God is doing through you and your family right here in our community. Because this is not about one personality. This is not about some man or woman's gifting. This is about what God is doing through every single one of us. And we came here 12 years ago, myself and actually another family that's here with us today. We just want to introduce to you, if you do not know them, and that is Pastor Mike. Where'd you go, Pastor Mike? Where'd he go? Lord have mercy. Ruined my intro. Well, the other one, but Christy, you're here. There you are, sweetie. Stand up, Miss Christy. Stand up. This is Christy Cantrell.
His better half.
This is Pastor Mike's wife. Myself, my wife, we had one daughter at the time, Darcy. She was 2 years old, I believe. 1 year old. She was 1 year old. And Christy, how many did you have when we came? Three. Now we have five each. And so we're so glad, Christy, you're here with us today. Mike will be here in a moment. That classic, he ruined my intro of him. But also here with us is Pastor Feakery. You guys remember Pastor Feakery? Say, I don't know, Pastor Feakery. Let's see your... Pastor Feakery came to be with us all the way from Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Many of you guys have gone on a mission trip to be with him. Pastor Mike, there you are, champ. I had this great introduction of you. Sam, you're like the Spirit of God. You just disappeared and came back, man. Good to see you, brother.
Like Forrest Gump.
Like Forrest Gump. That's right. You're looking good. But we have, ever since we started 12 years ago, we have been a church that is on mission. In fact, you're going to hear the story of really how we got started here in a moment. But I want you guys just to be standing in prayer with us this week because we're sending a team out to Arizona State University. And that team is made up of about six people. And we're going to see, just as we did here, that college campus change, just as we're changing Austin Peay State University. And throughout this week, I would encourage you to be in prayer with us as a church so we can watch what God does in that nation. And really through our church there, we have a Bethel church there in Arizona that is doing great. Guys, 12 years ago, here's what happened. 12 years ago, we had an outreach at Austin Peay State University. Some students were showing up. This is actually where David Fisher, you saw him on screen there, gave his life over to Jesus Christ. And there was a young girl that was attending this Bible study. Her name was Brittany. And Brittany had gotten born again. And I believe about 2 weeks after Brittany gave her life to Jesus, she was hit by a drunk driver. Ended up in the hospital. And our Brentwood pastors heard about this, and they ended up calling Pastor Mike. They called Mike and they asked him, say, Mike, will you go out and simply minister to the family and begin to pray for this family and for this young girl, Brittany? So Pastor Mike shows up, and when he shows up, he begins to meet some of the individuals that were attending the Bible study. A couple of days later, Brittany ends up passing away. She ends up going on and being with the Lord. And so Pastor Mike, he comes back to our pastors in Brentwood, and he looks at them and he says, we need to start a church in Clarksville. There's a great campus there, Austin Peay State University. There was an amazing military base there at Fort Campbell. And there's a community there that we can reach. And sure enough, Mike comes back to me and he says, hey, champ, you want to go with me to start a new church in Clarksville? At that time, both of us were serving in our church in Murfreesboro. And my wife and I, we felt like, yes, let's go and let's do this. And so we sold our houses in about a month, I believe, Pastor Mike. Is that correct? It took something real... Didn't take very long. You know, remember, 29 days. We sold our homes, we came here, and we moved to Clarksville, Tennessee. And it's amazing. See, what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for the good. It's amazing what God did from a young girl who was hit by that drunk driver, but because of that, a church. You are here today sitting here because a girl had chosen to believe in Jesus. She gave her life to Christ. Something tragic happened, but yet God turned it around for the good. And a church was birthed right here in our community. See, every family has a story. And every story has a beginning. And this is our beginning. And it's amazing what God has done these past 12 years. But here's what I want to communicate to you today. Is I want you to know that every one of you matter here this morning. Every one of you have a calling of God on your life. For us to reach the calling that's on our church, it takes you reaching your calling.
That's right.
So every individual in every family has a call of God upon their life. And simply what God is doing, He is joining us together as a family to do something great in our community, but also in the nations of the earth. We have a big vision here at Bethel. And when you jump in and get involved here, let me tell you, you find value as a person and as a family when you get involved in the mission and the vision right here at this church. God is changing lives. And you really discover your mission and your purpose when you get involved in the local church. I love to say that your purpose is always found by you getting involved in a local church with a spiritual family. When you find your people, you find your purpose. I found this, and many of you others have found. And today I want Pastor Richard, before we bring up Pastor Mike, I want Pastor Richard just to talk about, because it's great what God has done, but we also want to look to where we're going as a local church.
That's so good. You know, one of the first symbols that has been attributed to this church when we came 12 years ago are those praying hands that you see when you walk through the double doors of this church. That's more than just a logo for us here at Bethel Community Church. It really has a larger impact and a larger meaning. It's really the destruction of the barriers that we see in our nation. Right. And we really believe here at Bethel Community Church that God placed us here strategically for a purpose. And over the last 12 years, God has began to do something wonderful here on 1885 Tanneytown Road. You see a church that doesn't resemble a lot of other churches in our nation and definitely here in Clarksville. And what God has started, He's also expanding here in Clarksville, Tennessee. One of the things that you may have received when you walk through the door is this little handout that says, B1 Clarksville. This is an event for women that is coming up on September the 20th that really seeks the same goal at destroying these walls that really divide us, whether you're black, white, brown, whether you're from here or whether you're from there. It's really a gathering of women from all over Clarksville, Tennessee, to worship together, to praise the same God together, and to really get outside of our comfort zone and put our eyes where it really matters, and that's on Jesus Christ. So if you're a lady, we invite you to that. But here at Bethel, we're also planning something as well. A few months ago, you may have remembered, or maybe you weren't here, that Pastor Lance and I, we talked about what we see in our nation. We talked about the shootings.
Yeah.
We talked about the police killings in our nation. And really, it stirred us up when we were out in the mission field in the nation of Bolivia. What can we do? You know, that's a great question to ask. And it's really overwhelming when you look at what's going on in the world. What can we do? But we really feel at Bethel that maybe we can't change what's going on all across the United States. But we feel that God has called us to be here. And then maybe we can do something here in Clarksville, Tennessee.
Good.
And so we have began a series of meetings to put together something called a Night of Hope. It's really a night of racial reconciliation, a night of forgiving, and it's also a night of healing and looking to the future of what God wants to do when people put aside their differences and feast their eyes on Him. And so Evan Owens and myself, we have been meeting with the county mayor about 2 weeks ago. The county mayor is on board. It's amazing when you put a little faith in Christ, what He can do and how many doors can begin to open. But we went into this meeting not really knowing what we were going to come out with. And He didn't know us. We didn't know Him. But He said, I want to be a part of this. One of the things that we did really briefly is we showed Him a picture of those praying hands. And we told Him what they represented. And the county mayor in Montgomery County said, I'm on board.
Yeah, good.
We've also had...
Come on, let's give God a hand clap for that.
Him a big hand for that. We've also got word that Senator Mark Green is on board as well. And so now the next step is to add a few more to the table and to plan this so that the entire community can come together. We've got a tentative date of October the 21st. But as you guys know, when you get politicians involved and stuff, things might begin to change. So what we're really believing for is that you guys would pray for us, that you would pray that God would continue to lead us. And we really believe that our entire community can be impacted by what God started 12 years ago here.
Tremendous.
In Clarksville,
Tennessee. Thank you so much. Tremendous, Pastor Richard. And so really, as you see, we're moving forward as a church. And so the call of God, and you're going to hear Pastor Mike talk about this today, is for you really to jump on board. Let's give a big hand clap for Pastor Mike as he comes.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? I'm just going to borrow this podium. I hope you guys don't mind, just in case I need to set this down. Well, it's an honor to be here. Awesome to have my family here. I have kids spread out throughout the congregation. 17 to 7. Somebody asked me, what you been up to? I said, driving a taxi. I think I'm going to get a job at Uber. But God is good. He's been, you know, faithful. And Pastor Lance, thank you for the honor. And it's awesome to be here on this church anniversary, but also pretty humbling to be a part of this church in that post-9/11 era. I mean, that day changed all of our lives. Well, those of us who were born. And I'll never be the same. And then the honor to come here in 2004 and really serve during those 15-month deployments. My gosh. I learned what it meant to be a pastor. We learned, Travis and Lance and all of us, Pastor Ron and everybody here, learned what it meant to be a pastor. Obviously, we're still committed to that. And I just love the vision of this church. I'm excited that the vision's carrying on. And the big thing I wanted you guys to know, you know, I could stand up here and say, this is what I hear God saying and kind of speak prophetically. But I really think the Bible tells us about everything we need to know, and the essence of what I want you guys to get today. If you look in your Bible or you have a smartphone, I'm thinking about trading in my smartphone for a dumb phone, like just a flip phone. Anybody still have a flip phone? If Andrew Luck can have one, I can have one. If y'all don't know who he is, he quarterback, makes a lot of money for the Indianapolis Colts, and he still has a flip phone. But Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the fulfillment of the promise of Joel that God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. That's not something to be taken lightly, and it's not something to be underestimated. If I could have Jesus here, just imagine if Jesus was sitting here on the second row with these three lovely ladies. I think all of our attention would go to him. We would probably worship him, ask him a lot of questions, say, you know, pray for me, put your hands on me. Jesus said, though, it was better that he go. Now, that's amazing that there's something better than Jesus. Now, there's nothing better than Jesus because God is a Trinity. But he said, it's better that I go so that God, the Holy Spirit, could be poured out on the church. So basically, we might not have Jesus in the flesh on the second row, but we've got the Holy Spirit anytime we need it. It's been poured out on all flesh. It's available to us. And so Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, who couldn't even share his 2-minute miracle with a little woman at a little girl at a campfire, denied Jesus. After being filled with the Spirit, with the outpouring that you can read about on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, stood up and preached an anointed message which basically proclaimed Jesus as Lord and Savior. It was the good news of the gospel, which is the fact that Jesus lived the life we should have lived, perfectly and sinless, died the death we should have died, cold, alone, abandoned, rejected. That's what we deserve. Went into death, hell, and the grave. And on the 3rd day, he rose again, proving that he is the Son of God. In fact, Paul tells us that if the resurrection didn't happen, then our faith is futile. We bank everything on a historical evidence and proof and historical fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That's what Peter preached. That's the good news for me and you today. It's not about what we have to do. It's about what Jesus has done. It's the cross plus nothing. And Peter stood up and preached it and said, and men and women were cut to the heart. I got a question for you. Have you been cut to the heart? See, church can just be kind of light and fluffy. We can have Christianity light, or we can have the gospel that Peter preached when he said, "This Jesus whom you crucified is both Lord and Christ." And they were cut to the heart. The Bible says he went on to say, they said, "What shall we do?" Have you asked a question? What shall I do? Because if you haven't realized that Jesus is Lord, if you haven't realized that for you individually, not just because God bless America and, hey, we're Christians and we like, you know, it's the NFL season again and, of course, we're Christians. And has it been personal to you? Because for that day, it says 3,000 were added. And that doesn't mean just corporately. No, it became personal for 3,000 people. And there he says, repent, be baptized. So the promise is for you and to all those who are far off, which is all of us, as many as the Lord God will call. This is the promise. But it's more than just a promise of salvation. This is where I want to kind of get down into in just the next couple of minutes of what I want you to grasp. I want you to understand that after that, it says then that the 3,000 were added to the church. It didn't say 3,000 went out and started shopping for a fellowship. It says they were added to the global church, but you're also added to the local church. And in our consumer Christianity, we basically just shop around for whatever kind of makes us feel good and then decide, hey, this is my church. But the New Testament church, it says they were added. And I believe that if you've been here, like Pastor Lance said, hey, when you find your people, you find your purpose. But it's more than going out in some kind of self-discovery. It's really asking the question of Jesus, who is Lord, where are you adding me? And then if it's where you are adding me, what am I supposed to do there? Because when I find my people, I don't just find people to serve me. I find my purpose to serve them. And in Acts chapter 2, goes on in verse 42 through 47, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the doctrine, the truth. Meaning they read their Bible and heard preaching more than they looked on Facebook for public opinion. And they stuck to the truth. And then it's, we're introduced first time for this word, fellowship. It's a Greek word. It means koinonia. And what I want you to realize is that we search the world all over. We try to create social clubs and social networks and unity and groups and all. But the only place that we can really find it, if I had time, I would just break that scripture down. But it's when we find koinonia, and what you experience when you come into a local church is more than a social club. You find koinonia. It said there was a spirit of awe. It was something that God was doing in their midst. It was something bigger. The word fellowship there meant more than just hanging out. There was purpose. There was destiny. There was vision. There was fellowship that meant, hey, that there were people walking together. There was The word koinonia means communion, which we just all took, which means, connection with God. But one of the benefits that Travis didn't have time to expound upon was that we have fellowship with one another. What unites us is the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And there's communion. And in this fellowship and communion, we slow down. We begin to listen. We become vulnerable. The greatest cry of the Christian church today is for authentic Christian community. In that, there's also sharing. Koinonia means the shared life. You don't just come to receive, you share. What are you sharing at Bethel Community Church? Not what are you receiving. I think these guys would probably throw up in their mouth if somebody came and said, "Well, I'm not being fed." They'd probably say, "Who are you feeding?" And then finally, there's a divine partnership, because at the end of the day, it isn't about me in this life. It's about the kingdom of God coming to every nation. Where, like Pastor Lance said, is we're all needed. If you're added, you're needed. You're not added just for fat. Let's just trim the fat. And let me tell you, the darker the days come, the gray area is getting smaller and smaller, and you're either going to be real or you're going to be fake. You're going to be on one side or the other. Straddling is getting ready to go away with. That is what we have when we embrace koinonia. Let me end with this. Do you have that quote, Ryan? That quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany, theologian and martyr, really. He opposed Hitler. And basically, this is what he said, and this is what I want to leave you with. Christian community is not an ideal we have to realize, but rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate. Meaning, we don't come inside these doors and hope Pastor Lance and Pastor Richard can develop Christian community. Maybe there will be a life group for me, and I thank God for community groups and thank God for church picnics. But if that's what you're banking on, you're actually missing the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit, which is koinonia, which is a divine fellowship, communion, partnership, and sharing. And it says here, it is already a reality. It's just a matter of will you participate? And when you participate, it doesn't just mean showing up to spectate. It means I'm coming to contribute, and I'm coming because how you engage it determines what you get out of it. If you come with just your hand out, then you might get something in your hand. But if you come to give, your life will be changed. The Bible says finally in Psalm 133 how beautiful and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. And the word for this church is next man up. You know, in football, the greatest thing I'm doing right now is coaching 11 and 12-year-old football, by the way. In football, in the military community, we know this. And year after year, there's been people come and go. Night Stalkers, 5th Special Forces, 101 guys. And, you know, in Clarksville, everybody's coming or going. The question is, who Bethel Community Church will be is not dependent on Lance and Deanna. It's dependent on you. And you need to say, next man up. What can I do? How can I serve? What can I show up? Because koinonia is here. I want to participate. Can I pray for him? Can I just pray? Richard, who's coming back up? Travis? Is that good? Sorry. Come on up, whoever's coming. I just want to pray. Y'all all coming? Come on up. Man, I love this team. Aaron and David and Pastor Ron David, I owe my life. Christy and I owe our life and marriage to Pastor Ron and Nancy. This is a great church you have. Can I just pray for you real quick? Father, thank you so much for this great church. Thank you, Lord. When we say Bethel Community Church, it speaks of this Acts chapter 2 koinonia. It's not just a good idea. It's not just a catchy name. It's created by God so that the world may be one. John chapter 13 says, the world will know that we're with you, Jesus, by our love for one another. Over 30 one another's in the New Testament. God, this church will be marked in this next era by their love for one another, by their commitment to one another, by the koinonia in which they embrace and walk in, which is already present. Lord, I pray right here, God, that every person first would be cut to the heart. God, recognize that you are the Lord in Christ. Secondly, we understand your participation in their life by adding them to the global church, and hopefully this local church. And God, I pray that this church would become everything it's called to be, not because of its direct leadership, but by every person sitting here today saying, you can count on me. I'm here to serve. I'm here to grow. I'm here to reach the community. When I hear about a night of hope, I'm in. I'm not just on the surface. I'm not just in the out in the peripheral. I'm in. What do I need to do? When I hear about college students being reached for Christ, I don't just think, oh, that's for those young guys. What can I do? Let me make some brownies. Yes. Let me just show up. Let me give you a word. Let me pray for you, David Fisher, Vince, Heather, the team. Let me sow some finances into the nations, into children's ministry, into the next outreach. Let me be that person. God, I thank you that it is truly beautiful when brethren dwell together in unity. God, you say it's like oil that runs down the beard of the great priest Aaron. God, there is a priestly release when brethren dwell together in unity. And God, if our country is divided along political lines or along racial lines, along socioeconomic lines, let not your church be divided. We worship you. We thank you. Bless these men and women in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet just for a moment. See right here. Yeah. Pastor Ron, come on up here. Y'all come closer to me. You know, what I want us to do, and I want Pastor Feaker, he's standing on stage. I really do believe that we're coming into really what's called a Kairos moment, a tipping point for us as a church. There's something called a flywheel momentum. When this flywheel begins to start, it cannot be stopped. And I believe here in the next coming year that we're going to see things as a church really begin to take off. And it's like Pastor Mike said, God is building a net to catch the harvest. And the net is you and I, the knots of the net is you and I coming together in relationship, in community, to be able to catch what God wants to bring. And so what I want us to do, and Pastor Feaker is going to pray one more prayer for us. And I know this might be a little bit weird if you're a guest. I'm sorry, it's going to be a little bit weird. But I just want us to lock arms with those beside us. Let's lock arms as a church with those beside us. And I want to get Pastor Feaker to come, and he's going to pray. He's going to pray for us as a church because, again, this is not about what you see on stage. Please understand. This is never about what's up here. It is about you. It is about the calling of God on your life and you being activated as a follower of Christ in the mission of God. And so, Pastor Feaker, why don't you pray for us as a church and as a pastoral team here?
Father, thank you for this amazing community of faith, community of believers. Thank you, God, that you would allow us to have a home to come to, love one another, and walk together in unity and in grace. But Lord, as we are locking arms together this morning, God, we come to you humbly and say, Lord, send us to the mission field. We will obey Matthew 28:19 of going and making disciples of every nation. God, thank you for the thousands of nations that still need to hear the message of the gospel. Many of them represented right here in Clarksville, Tennessee. Many of them around us and have still never heard the message of the gospel. God, I pray in Jesus' name for every man and every woman, every young man, young woman, every child in this house to feel the burden for the people that have not listened to the gospel yet, for the nations around us, and not only here in Nashville, in Clarksville, and in Tennessee, but around the world. God, I pray for the 4,000 plus cultures around this world that have yet to hear the message of the gospel. Send us. Even as many are deployed from here to different places in this world, may they carry the gospel with them, Lord. May they carry the power of the Holy Spirit and take the message of salvation to every nation in our generation. God, I pray for this powerhouse to be a community of faith where people come and are filled with the Holy Spirit and receive the training that they need and go to the mission field. As we exit the parking lot of Bethel Community Church, may we be in the mission field. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 We want to go ahead and invite our prayer team to come down front today. We just want to tell you that, you know, as we were talking today, as Pastor Mike and the team were talking about basically spiritual family, you know, you guys, there's action steps you can take. You have to take a step to get connected, to get involved in community. And we have three little next steps for you today. The first one is if you haven't been to Starting Point, you can sign up today. This is, we say that this is where the journey begins. You get to find out, learn all about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be connected to family, learn about what Bethel Community Church believes in and is about, what our mission is here as a church. The second thing is get connected to a community group, all right? Because we believe that's where you actually get that opportunity, as Pastor Mike was talking about, Koinonia, that's where that happens, all right, is in those opportunities of community groups. And then the third thing, you can actually take an action step today at 2 o'clock, and that is to come to the church picnic at Civitan Park, all right? So how many of you say you're going to be there? Raise your hand. We got to have more people than that. Go ahead and commit to it. Come on, you can do it. All right. 2 o'clock today, Civitan Park. We want you guys to come out and be part of that opportunity. We want you guys to have a great day, a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday, or actually see you at 2 o'clock today.